Welcome back.
Episode 52.
52. It's 1 year.
1 year today.
1 year with Mike. I've you know, it's probably one of the most fulfilling relationships I've ever been in. It's been a year. Do we kiss? Do we hold hands?
No, we just did that.
It's no. Maybe we should go for a run.
Oh, we should go for a run and a beer. But given it's like 10 o'clock and we still have to do work today.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah, we always said we'd do this one drunk.
But
I've got a patient coming in about 45 minutes.
So yeah.
I probably can't.
I've got to work this afternoon. A double celebration today, though.
Yeah, why is that?
It's also my birthday.
You! How old are you?
32.
32.
Here we are.
That's good. You look 35.
Thanks. Thanks. It's the running, you know? Being exposed to the elements and the sun and the trail and the wind and shit, and just makes you look old and wise.
Yeah, and you got back from a few weeks of drinking beer in Europe.
Hey, that helps. After 171 kilometers in the Alps, you look like you're 80.
So I will look like I'm 80.
It's fine.
So thank you for everyone who's listened and kept us going and kept our motivation up, and the community that we've started to build around this is really something that I'm stoked on. I'm really proud of. So, like, you know, we wouldn't do it if it wasn't for you guys. So
no, exactly. If nobody would listen, we'd go, fuck this.
Exactly.
But, like, thanks for people that listen, tune in every week, that shoot us messages, that ask questions, that just shout out and tell us we're legends. Like, more of that, please.
Yeah, yeah, keep telling us we're legends. So thank you all. What we're going to talk about today is two more questions that we got from the Q&A post that we put out a few weeks ago. These two questions are kind of, I guess, related to one another, but it opens up a big can of worm and a big topic, and I wanted to do an entire episode on this. So it's Chris and Candace. So Chris asked about the benefits of barefoot running, and Candace asked about tips to get stronger feet, and they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So we figured we'd just crack the lid of that can of worms and jump in.
So
feet first.
Look, quick thing about feet: 26 bones, 33 joints.
Also, I should say at this point, if you haven't listened to the episode we did with Tim Branston, the podiatrist, from what, like 2 months ago, maybe? Listen to that first and then come listen to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we talked a lot about it back then, and everything we're going to talk about kind of would make more sense if you listen.
Yeah. So 26 bones, 33 joints. The thing is built to move. We're talking about your foot.
Yeah. You don't have 33 joints if it's designed to sit still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the foot and the ankle. Like, so it's supposed to move.
Yeah. Like your forearm, which has, like, if you're between your elbow and your wrist, there's no joints. So that thing shouldn't move.
Well, yeah, in your elbow, you've got one, two joints in your elbow, and it moves in one direction. It bends and it extends. Like, that's all your elbow does. Whereas if we think about your wrist, you can actually move your wrist around quite a bit. There's a lot of actual mobility there, but it's quite a strong object in your wrist. And you've actually got like 10 plus your hand, heaps of bones through there.
Yeah.
Like it's supposed to move quite a bit. So the foot is flexible, should be. So running, like when you run, you put heaps of load through your foot. Like your foot is the thing that contacts the ground. So your foot works hard when you run, like really, really hard. A lot of load goes into it.
Mm.
So I think when we talk about shoes, barefoot, running, what's happening in your feet, it all still comes down to load, like everything does.
Yeah.
Like I can run 20 meters barefoot across the road and I probably won't hurt myself unless I stand on some grass. But pretty sure everyone can take their shoes off and run 100 meters across a grass oval.
Easy.
Like
if you're uninjured.
Yeah. If you can't do that, you've got separate issues. But like inherently, we can all take our shoes off and climb a tree and run across the sand at the beach. We can run across a park. Like everyone can do that. So you're not going to break if you do that. But if you run 10 kilometers like that, okay, maybe you've exposed your foot to a bit of load and maybe you might get some soreness. So we look at how conditioned are your feet to run, I guess, longer distances with less support.
And less like cushioning between the actual bottom of your foot and the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if we overload our feet in the short term, you'll get soreness. We've all experienced soreness from running. But if you repeatedly overload your foot by putting more load through your foot than it can tolerate, you'll get an overuse injury rather than soreness. So what modern running footwear does is it actually cushions and supports the foot. So it is designed to kind of deload some of the intrinsic joints, muscles, tendons, ligaments, whatever you want to call them, inside your foot. So we do heaps of running. We put heaps of load through our body. We wear a shoe that supports us and deloads the foot a little bit. Like, it's kind of simple, right?
It makes basic sense.
So it allows us to run further, run longer before it stops because of foot pain. So I like, you know, if you have a stronger foot, you can get away with a less supportive shoe for a longer period of time. If you're a weak, terrible runner who's done no strength and conditioning work, and maybe you weigh a couple of kilograms extra and that weight's going to go through your feet, then maybe you couldn't get away with like a minimal running shoe. Maybe you need something a bit more support. So
yeah, the other thing that sort of like historically shoes have done is it sort of locked our foot up.
Yes.
Because we tend to wear sort of well-designed, beautiful, pointy shoes for a roundish, wide object.
Yeah, pointy boots.
Yeah, and it looks great, but it stops your foot from moving.
Mm.
And try not moving your arm for 6 months. See how strong that arm is.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for your shoes. The same thing goes for your feet. If you lock up your foot like for years in that shoe, you get a little bit of movement. It does a little bit, but hardly anything. So that foot and all the intrinsics just gets weak.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you sit at your desk all day wearing stiff leather shoes and do that for years and years and years and years and years, since you've been like a lot of the time 5 years old, since you put on your leather shoes to go to school, you're probably not going to have a foot that functions at its peak.
Exactly.
So on that note, there's actually some research has come out quite recently that if you just wear minimal footwear, when we say minimal, we mean less cushion, zero support, and something that's wide enough to actually house your foot. If you just wear minimal footwear, you get stronger feet.
Yeah.
Like the size, the diameter of your intrinsic foot muscles grows if you just wear barefoot footwear. So when people say, well, how do I get strong feet? Well, take them out of those stiff, rigid, pointy shoes and just wear shoes that are actually shaped like a foot, that are quite flexible. And just doing that alone will build up the strength.
And this is not when you're running. This is just daily life.
Day to day, yeah. Like take your shoes off. Yeah,
take your shoes off at home, walk around barefoot. Like, if you have an injury or you're currently like nurturing something that might even require an orthotic, temporary, different story. Like, if you need that support to offload a current structure that you've overloaded, don't go crazy and go running barefoot.
Because you're already in an overloaded state, so don't add more load to your foot.
Yeah, because going from a hard, stiff boot into a barefoot shoe will add more load to that foot, even if it's day-to-day walking around stuff.
But when we say like day-to-day walking around, the load we're adding in is minimal. Like, there's nowhere near as much load going through your feet when you're walking compared to when you're running 10Ks. So generally it's safe to do that, just to, you know, continue to wear your supportive shoe when you run, but wear minimally supportive footwear the other 20 hours of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's quite a safe way to actually start to build up some strength and get some foot dexterity back. So, I mean, like, in terms of barefoot running and it being like a natural thing, like, I do agree that running is inherently, it's a natural movement. Like, we're pretty well designed to run. It's what humans do. We, you know, I think if we should all kick our shoes off and go run across a field and climb a tree and chase a dog and like change directions, change speed, jump up and down, dodge something, like, that's kind of what humans are supposed to do. So running, that's all, they're all natural things. Now, feet are really good at that, but running on concrete for 42.2 kilometers and at the same speed in a straight line with no change in stimulus probably isn't a natural thing to do. So when people are like, oh, but the foot's meant to do this, it's natural. Well, it's not natural to run on concrete like that. So I think there's going to be some point where, like, cool, let's get some cushion, let's get some support, because what we're doing is a pretty weird thing for our human anatomy to run on concrete like that. So
again, Some people can. There's people that run marathons barefoot.
Because they've conditioned their bodies to do that. Yeah, it's as simple as that. And they, you know, maybe because they've been in better footwear their entire lives. So it's a combination of the last 30 years of, like, accidental foot strength that allows them to do that.
Or maybe they've been in no footwear for their entire life.
Maybe they've, like, actually haven't ever worn those pointy leather shoes.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's kind of how to approach the footwear maze is you just got to work out how much support do you need. You want to use as little support as you can get away with.
Yeah.
Essentially. So we want our feet to function as naturally as possible. There's something called the windlass mechanism. We actually use our plantar fascia to propel ourselves and to absorb force. We use our Achilles tendon like springs. We're supposed to load up all these structures in our feet to use them to propel ourselves and to absorb shock. But people think plantar fascia and they think, oh, plantar fasciitis, like plantar fascia is a bad thing. The plantar fascia is like incredibly useful. It's how the plantar fascia turns your foot from a really soft, supple structure that allows us to land and absorb force. And when we bend our toes to push off, the plantar fascia tensions and it becomes a rigid thing. So our foot becomes rigid to propel ourselves off the ground. That's the role of the plantar fascia, to turn the foot from something really soft and supple to land to rigid to propel ourselves. So every time we take a step, the plantar fascia gets loosened and then taut, and then gets loosened and then it gets pulled taut, loose, taut, loose, taut all the time. So always tugging away at the plantar fascia. So that's what it's designed to do. But it's when you do that beyond what the plantar fascia can tolerate, that's when you get sore feet.
Yeah.
So we actually want the plantar fascia to be able to do that role. But the stiffer and the more supportive our shoe is, the more it deloads that plantar fascia. So if you have, you know, an injury or an eagle like that, it feels really good to wear a supportive shoe or an orthotic.
Absolutely.
Because it deloads that structure. Yeah. But if we deload that structure all the time forever, well, then we're not using our feet efficiently like those kind of meant to be used.
And then any sort of load will be too much.
Yeah, and then if we're not putting load into our plantar fascia, where are we putting it? Like maybe our knee, our hip, our lower back.
Yeah.
So it's, again, this whole footwear thing is a maze. But if we approach it with this kind of this frame of mind where we want to use as little support as we can, but enough support to allow us to run without hurting ourselves.
Neither of us would run a marathon barefoot.
No.
No way.
No.
I'll be in bits and in pain and I'll not run for a long time.
Exactly.
I'm wearing barefoot shoes every day, all day.
Yeah.
But I still have running shoes that are cushioned.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's running.
Yeah.
The load's so much higher when you're running.
Exactly.
You can't just go, I normally wear barefoot shoes so I can run in barefoot shoes. It's not the same.
Exactly. And should everyone aim to get to the point where they should run in barefoot shoes? Hell no. Not at all. But I think should everyone try and incorporate some sort of barefoot training into their program? I think so, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like what I do and what I've had a lot of my runners do in the past is do your normal training session in whatever shoes you want, your Brooks Adrenalines, your Kayanos, your Speed shoes, whatever. But then at the end, take your shoes off and run 2 laps to the oval barefoot.
Yeah.
Just jog.
Just jog.
That's... And like even that probably won't overload most people. But again, if you've got an Achilles niggle, if you've got a plantar fascia niggle at the moment, don't put more load into the system by reducing the support under your foot.
Yeah.
Sort the issue out and then...
Then get strong.
Yeah.
And then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So there's no real right or wrong. It's super individual. Like it works for some people. Other people that are injured, it might currently not work for.
Mm.
But as Patty just said, everybody needs to do something. Everyone needs to expose their foot to some sort of load.
Yeah.
And it depends on what you're used to and what you can tolerate.
Exactly. And like, does your running technique facilitate a minimal support? Like, do you thump down really heavily on your heel because you're used to having quite a lot of cushion under your heel? Well, then going straight into barefoot. A barefoot style shoe might be a bit weird for you because you're not used to that.
I think this is what happened when the Vibram Five Finger shoe came out.
Yeah, Born to Run.
After Born to Run, the Five Finger shoe came out and everybody just got onto it and went like, yes, everybody needs to run barefoot. And went from really thick cushioned stable shoes to non-cushioned barefoot shoes. And everybody got injured. And then Vibram got a really bad name.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, it's bad for your feet.
That whole class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's because Vibram said you can prevent running injuries by running in our shoes.
Yeah, true.
But people still get injured. So what happens when you go from a cushioned supportive shoe to a minimal shoe or barefoot, you're just changing where the load goes. So when you, and this is more of like a general statement. So when you run in a supportive cushioned shoe, you put the load in your bones and your joints.
Yeah.
So your knee, your hip, your lower back and your shins. If you go into a minimal shoe, say, you know, a Vibram Five Fingers or any other minimal footwear or barefoot, what you do is you tend to change your running style so that you take the load away from your bones and joints and put it more into your foot, ankle, calf. So running with minimal footwear definitely loads up your plantar fascia, your Achilles, your foot, your metatarsal bones in your foot way more. And that's the intention of it, because that we're trying to use our foot, quote unquote, naturally as it's meant to do. And that will actually deload your knee, your hip, your lower back quite a lot. So quite often, if someone has knee pain and they're running in a really sportive shoe, I'll tell them, you know, like a lesser supportive shoe will probably help that. So Vibram, the whole, you can prevent injuries by running in these shoes. It's, you can probably lessen the incidence of knee and hip pain massively, but everyone got metatarsal stress fractures,
yeah.
and blew up their Achilles because their Achilles weren't ready for the loads that they were trying to put into their yeah. feet. If everyone did it gradually, they'd probably be a bit better. But again, that's going from one extreme to the other. That's going to a completely minimally supportive shoe. Whereas if everyone like kind of just halved the amount of support in the shoe, there would have been less
yeah.
like foot, ankle, calf injuries.
Like, and I think for people that want to transition into something that's even lighter and less supportive and lower and towards a minimal, you need to do it gradually.
Yeah.
If you're not currently run in a stable 12 mil thick shoe, if you have a 12 mil pitch heel to toe and it's a stability shoe, you can't go to a 6 mil unstable shoe.
No.
You need to go, cool, I'm going to get a mild stability 10 mil shoe.
Yeah.
Get used to that. Get your Achilles and calves used to that. Do some extra strength work.
Yeah.
The next pair you buy might be an 8 mil
yeah.
neutral shoe, as
and,
you call it.
And even just running in that, you will gradually adapt to that over yeah. time.
And then you sort of build. You go from 8 to 6. You go from 6 to 4.
Yeah. So that's how I did it. So that's how I used to run in like 12, 13 mil stability shoes. Because that's what I was told I needed 5, yeah. 6, 7 years ago. And I went down that route. I went from 12 mil to 10 to 8 to 6 over like 2 to 3 years, like years. The other way to do it is get your 12 mil shoe that you've been in for a while, get your 6 mil shoe that's a bit more flexible. Mm. But, you know, in the 4 runs a week, wear your 12 mil shoe. And then in just that 1 run per week, just wear that 6 mil shoe. Something that's a little bit different, just going to change yeah. the loading up.
And make that run short. Don't yeah, do that exactly. for your long run.
Yeah. And so you're really changing the stimulus. And then, yeah, do your 1 kilometer barefoot cool down
yeah.
after your 20 kilometer run in your supportive shoe. So there are different ways to do it. What you've got to do is you've got to gradually expose your foot to a little bit more load, let your body adapt to that, and then gradually expose your foot to a little bit more load, gradually adapt, exposure, adapt, exposure, adapt. That's how it works. And for me, that took over 2 years.
Same for me. It took me 2 years to get from a really heavy stable shoe to now it's I think around a 4 or 3 mil neutral shoe.
Yeah.
And
there should be no target. There should be no end result. No. I've treated patients in the past that are like, I want to get to the point where I can run barefoot and I can wear Vibrams. I'm like, well, why? Like, you might not ever get your body to the point where you can tolerate a half marathon on concrete in Vibram five fingers. Like, you might not ever get to that point because you're exposing your plantar fascia, your foot, your ankle to so much load. Like why? Because it's cool? Because it's barefoot? Because it's natural?
But you might like shave off half a second.
Or you might hurt yourself.
Or you might hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you might shave off half a second because that shoe is 5 grams lighter in total.
Yeah.
And you have that little bit of that gain, but is it worth the risk? Absolutely not.
Yeah. And that's so different for everyone. And that's kind of the art of it. And that's the art of footwear prescription.
Yeah.
And it's the, you know, that's where a runner like knowing themselves kind of comes into it too.
It's the art of like seeing through the bullshit that is the shoe.
Yeah.
What do we call it? The shoe
world.
World. Yeah.
Industry.
Industry. Because there's so much. There's so many commercials and so much data and research, quote unquote, that shows that all these cushioned shoes are great for you and they make you quicker and faster. But
and when you go into a shoe store, generally you're sold a shoe based on that stuff, because the staff in shoe stores learn to sell shoes based off what the shoe companies tell them.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know, New Balance will be like, cool, here's a really supportive cushioned shoe for the for the pronated runner. And like, all shoe companies say that. And like, we're getting shoe companies now that don't say that, like Topo, like On Running are better. There are actually quite a few companies that are coming out now in opposition to the traditional model. But most staff in shoe shops are taught to sell shoes based off what the shoe companies promote through their marketing, which is fundamentally fucked up, and I hate it. And it's quite damaging for the individual. Why do the shoe companies do it? Because the markup is awesome. Like, on a really supportive cushioned shoe with heaps of whiz-bang technology and all this new shit we invented last year, this new type of foam, that's really cool. It's fucking expensive, and the markup on it is huge. Whereas to sell someone a shoe that has a bit less support, you know, it moves a little bit, less jam-packed full of technology, there's no profit in that. There's no markup in that. Shoe companies always need to reinvent the shoe for the following year to add something else so that people will buy it. You can't just like have a pretty flexible shoe, you know, and just get the same one year after year after year. That's not how business works for shoe companies. It's fucked up, and it's hurting people. It's injuring people, and it fucking makes me angry. And I'm, oh God, I'm firing up now.
So like,
this is why I wanted to do this topic as a separate podcast, because I knew I'd get on a tangent.
We have an episode on shoes, which is like 45 minutes. And
like, even then, that was like probably 6 months ago.
That was 6 months ago.
I've probably changed my opinions and seen some new research since then. So,
and it's constantly changing, and there's no, this is the best thing to do. There's only, this is the best thing for this individual at this point in time. Mm.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it hard.
Yeah. It makes it awesome too.
Yeah. It makes it so good as well.
Candace asks, how do you get stronger feet? Well, like I mentioned before, if you just get out of stiff, rigid shoes and get into flexible shoes that have enough space at the toe box for your big toe and have minimal cushioning, if you just wear minimal shoes, not for running, not for training, just wear them day to day. We're talking like 8, 10, 12 hours a day. They've done cross-sectional MRIs of people's feet before and after a period of wearing these shoes. And yeah, the cross-sectional area of your foot intrinsic muscles gets bigger just by wearing normal shoes. So like, number one, just your footwear. Number two is you do need strong calves. I will get everyone to do calf raises. So there's just a basic calf raise and a calf raise with a bent knee as well to target your gastroc and your soleus calves.
Yeah.
So those two are incredible. But then there's like how your actual foot functions as well. Can you lift up and lower the longitudinal arch of your foot? Can you stand on your feet with your shoes off and like lift up your arch, drop your arch, lift it up, drop it? Do you have that control there?
That's an exercise.
Yeah.
Right there.
100%.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Just balancing on one foot.
Yeah.
Is an exercise.
Balancing on one foot and pushing through your big toe. One thing that I see quite a lot is people don't use their big toe properly. Your big toe is like the anchor of your foot. It's the king. It does all the work. So I see a lot of people where they're trying to balance one foot, or when they do like a squat, 2 feet on the ground, you're trying to do a squat, and as you sit back into the squat, your big toes come up off the ground. Like, that's your foot just giving up and being like, oh, no, you don't
want to. There goes your arch.
Yeah. Yeah, if you lift up your big toe, where does your arch go?
Yeah.
It falls down. So I think get strong calves, learn how to use your big toe. Like, actually use your big toe when you squat. When you do a calf raise, push through your big toe. Practice the dexterity of actually being able to lift up the longitudinal arch of your foot. Mm. Can you move your big toe relative to your other four toes?
Yes. Can you just lift your big toe and not the other four?
Yeah.
And the other way around.
Yeah.
Can you keep your big toe on the ground and lift the other four and play with that?
If you're listening to this right now, take your shoes off, put your feet on the ground. You can be standing, sitting, it doesn't matter. If you're driving, don't. Do it with your fingers if you're driving. Feet on the ground, socks off, shoes off. Lift your big toes, but keep your other four toes on the ground.
And don't try not to scrunch your other four toes if you can lift your big toe.
Yeah. And it doesn't count just by rolling your ankle outwards.
Yeah.
Keep your ankle still where it is. And cool, so that's one. Then keep your big toe on the ground and lift your other four toes up. But again, don't just roll your ankle to the inside because that's cheating. So this is toe dexterity.
Toe yoga.
The other one I like is keep your big toe on the ground, keep your pinky toe on the ground, and lift up your middle three.
Mm.
And so that's kind of looking more at the transverse arch and shortening through the middle of the foot. So again, this is toe dexterity. If you can do this, you're probably on your way to having a functional foot.
Yeah, good. And simple things are splaying your toes and squeezing them back together.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't.
Yeah. And with all of these things we just talked about over the last minute, if you can't do them, practice. Stare at your foot and tell your big toe to move.
It's a bit like that scene from Kill Bill where she sits in the back of a car and she can't feel her legs and she just stares at her toe for God knows how long.
And then she can move her
toe. The same thing goes for this.
You
really have to convince your brain that you can do it and stare at that toe and go, fuck you, mate. Yes, I can.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
And it takes time.
Yeah, and the big thing with all this is we're talking about strengthening your feet. It's just expose your foot to load, let it to adapt. Expose your foot to load, let it to adapt. And it's strong. It doesn't happen in 2-3 weeks.
No.
If you train your biceps and your arms, you can get bigger biceps in a few weeks and you can lift heavy weights. With your foot, it takes time. It's just expose it, let it adapt.
Maybe the adaption process takes longer than you think.
It does, yeah.
Don't think it'll adapt in 4 weeks.
And it's still... I'm still adapting.
Oh, same.
My feet are still getting... I reckon I have pretty strong feet, but I'm still getting there. I'm still adapting. I'm still changing. I still overload my feet. I still get foot pain every now and then when I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, I overdid that a little bit. Let's just go back. Give it a week. Sweet. No worries.
Yeah.
And it's something that's ever, ever evolving. There's no silver bullet here.
No, it's just do more.
Yeah, totally. That's where we're at with footwear. That's where we're at with strong feet. Doesn't need to be more complicated than that. How much load can I tolerate through my foot? Cool, let's do that. Let's gradually increase that, gradually get more. And I think the overarching goal should be find the shoe that you can tolerate, like the least supportive shoe that you can tolerate, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, because lightweight shoes are just generally better for performance.
And something that's comfortable.
Oh, comfort, yeah, definitely.
And in the end, you want a healthy foot that's strong and mobile.
Mm, exactly. So I love getting people to take their shoes off at the end of a session. Do your 30-minute session, your two-hour session, whatever, and then just spend 5 minutes barefoot on the grass at the end.
If you're in winter in Norway, maybe don't, because you get frostbite.
Wear socks.
Yeah, wear woolly socks. But like even that, I do that sometimes when my feet are freezing.
Mm.
I keep my socks on and I'm like, fuck it.
But if you're in winter in Norway, you just go to the sauna and do foot yoga in sauna.
Yeah, true.
Easy.
You can do that.
Yeah, all sorts of yoga in sauna. Cool. I hope that answered you, Chris and Candace. It's fun. I like this topic.
Yeah, feet are great.
I like getting fired up.
Yeah.
I don't get fired up when people do dumb shit and when there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Oh, so much misinformation. Good times.
Hey, so thanks again for giving us 12 months. It's pretty cool. I'm fucking pumped for the next 12.
We've got a few things planned for the next 12 months.
We do.
We'll get you guys informed once we get our heads around it, I guess.
Yeah, cool.
So now keep your ears open for that because we're pretty keen to grow this and to...
Do some cool shit.
Do some cool shit with you guys.
Yeah. Right. All right. Thanks again. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.